Welcome to the Queer and Poly Podcast, the silly and serious shenanigans of two queer and polyamorous relationship coaches. I'm your host, Elizabeth Cunningham.
And I'm your host, Leanna Greech.
On this podcast, we talk about all things queer and poly from our professional perspective as relationship coaches, our own personal experience, and as partners.
And if you love our show, follow us on TikTok, Instagram, or Twitter at queer_and_poly. And you can also check out our website, queerandpoly.com.
Thank you for following us, and I hope you enjoy this episode. We hope you enjoy this episode.
It's true.
But your ability to be able to, you know, say like, these are the partners that I have. This is the dynamic that we have. This is how these dynamics might impact each other. These are some of the things that we're still working on or working out. Because again, like, you don't have to have everything figured out. I don't expect you to have everything figured out. And I don't have everything figured out. You know? But your ability to like be aware of those things and to be able to talk about those things and communicate around those things. Hello. Welcome to the Queer and Poly Podcast.
Do it.
Hope everybody's doing well today. And if you're not doing well, sending you lots of love. Sending you lots of love regardless. But if you're not doing well, sending you lots of love. What we are talking about today is
green flags. Because last time we talked about red flags. And then next time we'll talk about whatever color flag. Talk about rainbow flags next time.
There you go.
They're just gonna
orange flags, yellow flags, pink flags. I use the word pink flags when it's not quite a red flag, but I know that some people use the word yellow flags when it's not quite, quite a red flag.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, then it just, I don't know, it gets more too confusing then.
Yeah.
Because I'm not, you know, I think we also talked about that with the red flags of just like, red flags, like get curious around it, right? You know,
right.
That could potentially be a red flag. Is it? And you talk about it and you're like, actually, no, that was a miscommunication or whatever it was. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Well, green flags.
Green flags.
Green flags in queer and poly relationships.
Green means go.
Green means go. Green means go. Green means good. Green means yes, happiness, positivity.
It's so interesting how we like associate all the colors with these things.
Isn't it funny? Yeah. I am so interested in the psychology of colors. That is a different, totally different side topic. But like, I think that's one of the reasons why I love branding so much is because I like have always, I've always been since I was a kid, like super fascinated with the psychology of colors.
Yeah.
Anyway, that kind of just like clicked a few things for me. What's a green flag? What's a green flag for you? Let's start with dating. I think that's what we started. That's what we talked about last time, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think it was just like red flags and like dating. So then, yeah, like green flags and dating. And then green we can also, I mean, yeah, I think you can also like, cause it just like builds off of like, what is going to, if you're looking for like a longer term relationship or depending, like it also depends on like what you're looking for, right? Like your green flags are going to vary based off of like, especially in polyamorous relationships. It's like, yeah, what is a, you know, green flag for one partner doesn't necessarily need to be a green flag for another partner based on your specific dynamic. And so I think it's also part of that process, too, is to get clear on, like, what you are actually seeking, you know, in dating at this point in time and at and also considering, like, yeah, like what you are actually seeking, because otherwise you'll be like holding people to different expectations that really aren't necessary for what you're seeking, but it's like more of, well, I don't know, that's what I should be wanting, or you know, those kinds of things too.
Yeah. Totally.
So I think that's also just like, that's just an that's just something to consider, especially in polyamorous dating when you're out and about and looking for connection.
Yeah, definitely. I think that there are some things that are green flags just for like healthy relationships. And there's, yeah, I think that was brilliantly said That there's also just green flags as far as what you want and what you authentically want, mm-hmm. and kind of what you were speaking to, like, not like the, oh, I guess this is a green flag. So, mm-hmm. you know, other people think this is a green flag, or I've heard da 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 da, you know, or I've heard bad things about the opposite of this. So this must be a green flag.
Yeah.
Right. And then the other thing that I want to say too, I guess, before we say anything specific, is also why it's important to consider what the green flags are. And I think it seems obvious why that's important, but I think one of the things that like we do in our coaching with people is we don't talk about green flags necessarily, like, but we talk about like wins, like what are the wins and celebrations, or what do you want to acknowledge yourself for, or what's been going really well, mm-hmm. Or what's been working really well, etc. And why it's important to focus on things that are positive, things that are going well, things that are healthy, things that are working, things that are working for you specifically or for your relationship specifically, is because oftentimes we do focus on the problems, the red flags, the things that aren't working, mm-hmm. the things that we wish weren't happening. And obviously it's important to acknowledge those things. We don't want to be, you know, we don't want to fall into like the toxic positivity of like, just be positive and it's, you know, and everything will be fine. Just say your affirmations every single day.
Right.
But like in acknowledging what's also going well and recognizing what's going well and acknowledging yourself and your partners for what's going well, then that expands. Then you actually, it illuminates that. It expands that because it's like, oh yeah, we actually, you know, we're not doing very well at communication around sex, but we are doing really well with communication around scheduling. Mm-hmm. Right. And so number one, just acknowledging like there is something going well here. And then number two, you can also learn from what's going well. It's just like, oh, why is this going well? What are we doing to have this go well? And what can we learn from that? Or what can I learn about myself from that as well? Kind of what Lee was talking about with recognizing like the what you really want and the shoulds, looking at what's going well and why it's going well for you and what has you feel good about that is a really great place to look for what you really want and what really works for you, is to look at what's already working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a very coachy, you know, approach, I suppose. Like, I mean, like it's with any clients, but I just like building off of that, particularly around like, yeah, when you notice what is going well, or like even if you're in dating right now and you're like, you don't have any partners, like active partners right now. And so you're kind of going at it solo. And then, you know, you're just like, oh man, I just keep having like all these terrible dates, or, you know, and you're focusing on that piece of like, it's bad because of X, Y, Z reason, or there are all these red flags, or blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And it's easy just to kind of get stuck in that rut because you are focused on that. Like, you know, like mm-hmm. you just said, what you are focusing on is going to expand in that way. And so even reflecting on, yeah, what went well in the past, right? Like what went well, even in a relationship that maybe it didn't end so great, or it just wasn't like overall the best, but it's like, what still worked about that? Because like that will give you the nuggets that you need to kind of move forward. And it's even in like situations that are completely new, it's just to go like, what are you wanting? So it's like, I want to feel connected to these people that I'm, you know, dating. I want to feel excited. I want to feel playful. I want to, you know, so it's like, okay, great. And maybe you can't necessarily go to a moment in time where you're like, I was excited to, you know, when I was dating, because it was just like a really bad breakup, you know, the previous time. And so it's like, okay, but what was a connection that you felt excited about? Maybe it was like a friendship, or maybe it was, you know, a time with your mom or whatever it was. And it's like, what had that feel exciting for you? Like what contributed to that? Because that's when you can like build off of that, which is why it's so important to go, what is working well? What has worked well, even in a like shitty situation? What was something that worked well? Because that will tell you something about like what works for you, what works in creating something that you are actually desiring, which is really important, especially when it comes to dating and like getting clear on like what you genuinely want and not getting into like the, yeah, the shoulds and the, you know, other things of like, well, I guess, I mean, it's not that bad, you know, like, which I think the other thing on green flags before like going into the specifics is just like knowing that it's also to check in on at during different stages of dating. Like, you know, it's like, oh yeah, like this first date, great, there are green flags here to continue to the second date, right? And then it's like, okay, yeah, another third date or whatever. And then maybe the third date you're like, I don't know, there just feels like something that's just not, you know, connective, or it just, it's not necessarily any like blaring red flags, and there might be, but it's just like, and then you think, well, but there's like these green flags. Like, I mean, it's not, there's no like big red flags, like, you know, but it's not bringing you like the excitement that you were seeking, or like the genuine connection that you were seeking. And so it's like, yeah, it might have started very well. And then it's like, okay, so then what went well about that start for you? And then what shifted that? Mm-hmm. And just to let it be okay that even with green flags in abundance, that it's just like, you know, it's just not working for you in that way. And you can, of course, get curious around that, because it's, yeah, absolutely could be subconscious things like blocking you from that. But it's also just to get curious around like, okay, that, and just continuing to check in with yourself around. It's not like, okay, green flags all on the first date. Okay, we're dating and we are official and everything is great now. You know, it's continuing to be curious about that too.
Yeah. Insert lesbian joke here.
Yeah, the lesbians will see the green, one green flag and good to go, you know. Good to go. That's all you need. Yeah, no. Look for at least two, okay? Let's build up to two.
Let's work from there, mm-hmm. You know. Learn from what didn't work, learn from what did work, etc.
It's true.
Oh my gosh.
Because again, it can be such a bummer if you're like, it worked so well. And then it's like, like something happened that you're just like, man. But you're like, but they have three green flags and this one red flag. So like, he's going to toss that red flag to the side, even though it's like big, right? But it's like, but there's like all these other green flags, right? And you're like, but there's five of those or whatever, you know? And
yeah.
Like noticing you're bargaining with yourself too.
Yeah. Yes. Noticing bargaining with yourself. And the thing that's coming up for me is like noticing what your gut says too. Mm-hmm. Like, I think a lot of heartache could have been saved on my part if I would have just trusted my gut a little bit more in past relationships. But okay, what is a green flag? What's a specific green flag in a queer and or poly relationship?
I mean, for me, it's curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
Because curiosity is so key when it comes to poly and or queer relationships, because mm-hmm. then you're going to get curious around what is actually for you and not based on the hetero mononormative like scripts that we were given. And so it's, if someone is like really shows a lot of curiosity or just asks questions or just is intrigued by things, that's a green flag for me, because it's mm-hmm. like they're going to hopefully then be open to conversations around like, oh, like, why did we do that thing? Oh, we thought because that's what you're supposed to do, right? You know, or whatever it may be. And so I think curiosity is like really important when it comes to those non-traditional relationships.
Yeah, I think that's really big for me as well. And, you know, as we go throughout this podcast, you know, we'll talk about like, you know, our own personal experiences. And I know for me, a lot of these green flags are just in connecting with people. It's not even just like romantic or yeah, like romantic or sexual relationships. I consider a lot of my friendships intimate relationships. So when I hear the word intimate relationships, I automatically think of my friends too. But again, like even with friends or connections or things like that, like these are a lot of, and most of the people that I know or that I talk with or that I'm connecting with are queer and poly. And that's just kind of like the world that I live in. Yeah, like I just notice in you sharing that that's something that I look for just with people in general that I want to like even just associate with.
Yeah.
It's just like that curiosity and asking questions and being open. And yeah, so the other one that the green flag that I will share that I think the word is awareness, and specifically being aware of self. Like if I'm having a conversation, I'm thinking about, I had coffee with this person recently and we were just connecting. It wasn't like a date or anything like that. But we were connecting and getting to know each other, and, their level of self-awareness was really refreshing. It was really attractive. Like even though I'm, again, it wasn't like a date, but it was refreshing. It was attractive. And so when people say things like, oh, well, I noticed that for myself, I think this, this, this. And when people notice like almost like the green flags and red flags about themselves, that is like a huge green flag for me. And then also the other part of that is the awareness that is not like you, like that's not like the essence of you. Like it would be a red flag for me if someone was just like, oh, well, this is just the way that I am. Like that for me shows a lack of awareness, and the lack of willingness or ability to change or to do something about things that are about you that you might not really work. Right. And so not just the awareness of like the example that keeps coming to my mind is like ADHD, like your awareness around your own neurodivergence and like how you work and how your brain works and how you hear things. Cause like me and this person both have ADHD. And so we would say things like, oh, well, you know, I think my brain just glitched out because, you know, and so like, can you repeat what you just said? And so like being willing to, like, for me, that shows that they've done some sort of like work, whether that be therapy or coaching or whatever they did. And that they're aware of it enough that they're responsible for that part of themselves. And also without shame, like that tells me that they've done a lot of work as well, is being able to say those things like, oh, like, sorry, like my brain just glitched out. Like, can you repeat yourself? sometimes this happens for me. Like, if you can just bear with me and be patient with me sometimes, like I'll catch back up and I am listening to you. Right. And so the ability to even say that string of sentences tells me that you're aware of yourself and you've also done work on yourself, and that you might still be doing, you know, continuously like looking at those things so that you can interact with people in a way that's really like helpful and safe for everyone. Right. And so like that type of self awareness. Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's also just like, it's going to speak to like relational self awareness, not just even like self awareness, like just as an individual, but like the relational awareness that is important when it comes to like, especially if you have like multiple relationships, but it's also even just coming, like kind of going back to the point that you started off on when, like thinking of just like connecting with people, like that's a great foundation just to start off of when you're wanting to start to date or just make new connections in general. It's just to have like your baseline of like these are the qualities of the people that I want to have around me, whether we're dating or not, whether, you know, we're just friends or colleagues or mm-hmm. you know, whatever, acquaintances. It's like, who are you wanting to associate with? Because it's also going to be, it's like, that's, there's all kinds of studies about like, yeah, like the people that you have closest around you, it like, that's a great reflection of like kind of where you're at and, you know, what you value, what they value and all of that. And so it's also like, you can start even from that space if it's too intimidating to like think about like, oh, dating or like romantic relationships and what do I want? It's like, okay, what would you want in a friend? You know, and you can think of like your closest friend and like, what do you really value about them? And what do you value about the connection? Right. And then, cause like that can be, cause it's like, yeah, like I'm going to want people around me, whether we're dating or not, that are curious, that are aware, that, because it's like, that's just going to allow for the deeper connections that I want in general, like whether we're having sex or not. Like it's just like, I want to have those deeper connections. And it, cause it does also, cause that also just going to breed like compassion, right? Which is, you know, another, I mean, that's a green flag for me, but it's like compassion and, you know, the kindness and also understanding, forgiveness, humility, like all of that, because if you're self-aware, then you're going to have touched upon those spaces inside of yourself. And then you're going, oh my God, yeah, like I see where I, you know, messed up in that situation, and I can, you know, take accountability, because it's like also you being able to do that is going to tell me a lot for how it's going to be in relationship with you regardless, because it's like, if you're taking accountability for yourself already, you know, like chances are a lot higher that you're going to continue doing that in a relationship dynamic. And that also like kind of just building off of what can also come from awareness is another like green flag for me is going to be like empathy, just because it's also going to come from being aware. And also just, I mean, that comes from awareness about like environmental awareness, relational awareness. Like if you're like in a coffee shop, say you're in a coffee shop, right? And you're talking with them and you're connecting and everything. And like, even maybe there's like, it's just like a lot of people there and you see like this really stressed out, like barista there. And like the person you're connecting with, just like, you see it and they're just like, man, that's so hard. That's so stressful. Like, you know, and it's, so it's like, it's not even about you, like, but it's like their awareness of the people around them, of the environment, of the energy. And then to go like, to offer that empathy and compassion of like, oh man, like, yeah, I get that when it's like a really stressful day and there's just like so many people. And like, even if they've never worked in the coffee shop, but we can like relate, like that is empathy, like relating and being in that space with them going, I totally see you in that. And like, that's really hard. And you know, and so like even those kinds of like comments and just observations are huge. And then of course, like, yeah, when you're talking and you're like, yeah, this one thing or whatever. And the person is like, oh my God, like it's how they are reflecting that back to you, because especially in like polyamorous relating, you know, there's going to be challenges that come up and, you know, how are we holding it together in different dynamics? And so for someone to be able to maybe hear of a challenge of yours, maybe, and you know, and maybe there's like shame in there for you because you made a mistake or whatever. And it's like, instead of them like being like, well, yeah, you made a mistake, you know, like, but it's like, ah, like, yeah, like I like hear the shame in that, or like, I hear that, like the guilt there. And like, I really understand that because that's completely valid. And I also hear like the pain from that experience for you, and like completely valid. And it's not like, they're not just like kind of overriding it of like, oh yeah, that's hard. And then they just like move on. Like, but it's like, they like really understand the depth of that, because that also is going to tell me of their emotional intelligence as well. And their ability to tap into those kinds of spaces, you know, with others, within themselves. And that's also really key when you are in polyamorous relationships is to understand that, like, just the emotional realm that we swim in. And because that's also going to tell me too, that like, they will hopefully have like compassion and understanding for like partners like of mine, or you know, the challenges that like I'm going through or that they're going through, or whatever it is, because it's like they know that for themselves. And so, yeah, just that empathy piece will like really clue me in on a lot of that.
Yeah. And And I think also inside of, how do I want to say that? Inside of that empathy piece as well is, how do I want to say that? Recognizing or even asking about the, like, what you need inside of something, because, like, I don't always want someone to, for me, it's not always, like, productive or comfortable to, like, really drop into, like, the super emotional spaces. Mm-hmm. Especially if I'm just sharing something where it's like, it might be really emotional for, as an example, my dad passed away a couple of years ago. And anytime that I bring that up, that elicits a lot of emotions for people, which is completely and totally understandable. And they want to show that empathy for me. But it's not always helpful for me to have someone just, like, all of a sudden go into, like, these super sad feels, you know? Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's also useful. Again, I think it for me, it goes back to, like, the aware, it's like the combination of, like, mm-hmm. awareness and empathy. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you know, the people who have, who I felt really handled that situation well, at least. And again, like, I'm not, like, mad at anybody for, like, getting emotional about me sharing that my dad passed away or anything like that. Like, I completely understand where that comes from, obviously. But, like, if that depth of sadness is, like, not necessary for this conversation, mm-hmm. Like, the ability to, like, check in with me about that, like, hey, like, you know, do you need anything around that? Not like, do you need anything around that? But just like, hey, like, I really hear you. And, like, do we need to slow down, or do you need a moment, or, like, anything like that? Just something like a little, like, check-in where it's like, I can just say, like, no, I'm good. And then, you know, we can kind of continue on with the conversation, mm-hmm. instead of, like, dropping into this space of just, like, super sadness and just, like, oh my God, that's so terrible, and, like, all this stuff. And it's like, I don't know if that, like, that amount of, like, emotional energy is necessary. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's like, trust me, like, I've spent enough emotional energy on I still spend enough emotional energy on being sad about that. So, like, the fact that I just mentioned that doesn't necessarily mean that mm-hmm. we need to go there. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I think that that's also, like, kind of the awareness and empathy mm-hmm. as well. Yeah. I also think, like, another like poly green flag, we're talking about green flags, polyamory green flag for me is being able to talk about your partner dynamics and what those are and what it means to you and, like, what it means to your partners, like, because that also tells me that you have had a lot of communication with, like, you've had a lot of talks with yourself about what you want and what works for you, and you've had a lot of communication with your partners about what they want and what really works for them. And so that also tells me that, like, if this were to move into, like, a partnership, romantic relationship, sexual relationship, that we would have those conversations and you would have a solid understanding of what we're doing, what we want, how our dynamic impacts, you know, my other dynamics and your other dynamics, right? And so your ability to talk about that and to be solid about that is, and again, like, you don't need to know, like, everything. You don't need to know, like, every single want and desire and to have every single thing, you know, planned out, like, to a T. But your ability to be able to, you know, say, like, these are the, you know, these are the partners that I have. This is the dynamic that we have. this is how these dynamics might impact each other. These are some of the things that we're still working on or working out. Because again, like, you don't have to have everything figured out. I don't expect you to have everything figured out. And I don't have everything figured out, you know? but your ability to like be aware of those things and to be able to talk about those things and communicate around those things. And again, to do it without blaming anyone, without any fault, without, like, if you said something, if you were like, yeah, well, if this partner would just kind of like get their stuff together, then this relationship would be better over here. And if you came at it with that kind of like fault or blame or shame or guilt or something like that, like, I'd be like, that would be a huge red flag for me. But if your ability, if you're talking about your relationships, like, well, I have this partner and they're long distance, and then I have this other partner and we live together. And one of the really great things about that is that, you know, we're able to find the time and space to be able to all get the time that we need. But what's difficult about that is that, you know, sometimes my long distance partner feels like left out of my life because I have a partner that I live with. And so these are some of the conversations that we've been having, or these are some of the things that we've been doing so that my long distance partner feels like more integrated, like more part of my life. Mm-hmm. And this is something that we're working on. Right. And like, if someone said that to me, I'd be like, oh my God, that's amazing. That's true. Or like, that's incredible. That's incredible that you, because again, that tells me that number one, you've been having these, you're aware of the situation, how people are being impacted, how you're being impacted. You're having conversations with both partners. It seems like, you know, and again, like, there's always going to be hiccups, you know, no one's perfect. Mm-hmm. But like your ability to have that awareness, have those conversations, see the impact, and also to not blame anyone in the situation and to just be like, this is what we're dealing with right now. And this is kind of what we've been, this is how we've been trying to make it better. So that everyone, it feels, you know, feels good. It's like, wow, that's incredible. That's amazing. I love everything about that. That's so beautiful. Like if someone, yeah, if I was like sitting at, you know, at a dinner table on a date with someone and that's what they said to me, I'd be like, that's so sweet. Because again, that also tells me that if this person and I were going to start a relationship, you know, down the line, that it's like my feelings are going to be considered, how things are going to impact me are going to be considered, and both of us are going to recognize the responsibility that each of us individually have inside of that, and we're going to be able to communicate about it. And it also sounds like in this dynamic that each partner is able to have these conversations without the other partner being so upset about it. Right. So like that would be a huge green flag for me. If you're able to talk about your dynamics with self-awareness and recognizing the impact and taking responsibility and showing that you have like really great, you know, communication.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, like that is one thing that is, I guess, like a benefit of being in polyamorous relationships is that, like, especially if like people are dating others at the time or have partners, it's like you can gain a lot from like hearing those kinds of conversations. Like, you can gain a lot of green flags or you can gain a lot of red flags. Because it is, it's going to display a lot about how they are engaging in their active relationships. And also just like, yeah, just noticing how like how people are talking about others and how they are, yeah, how they are putting words to it all. And how, and then, you know, it's also about noticing, you know, like say you date them for, you're dating them for like a month or 2 months or whatever. And, but like, you notice that like, yeah, at the start of it, it's like, oh yeah, that was so great how they said it. And then it just, like, they just keep saying it again and again. Like, it's kind of like, it's like nothing's changing in this weird way. Like, and it's not like, oh yeah, everything's like all opened up now. No, like, it's not like, okay, you solved it. But it's more of like they just are like, yeah, well, then, the, well, because there's this other thing, there's this other, like, you know, and so it starts to like just notice that too. And that's, I mean, that's kind of like what I was saying earlier in the episode around like your checkpoints around like, oh, yeah, that was really great on that first date. So right. Solid. Here we are on our 10th date and there, what is going on here? Right. Yeah. You know, so like just noticing that as well. So it's like, that would just be, there would be green flags in that if it's like, they're showing, like, it's like, there is like that consistency and it's like, oh my God, this thing and then that thing. And, you know, and so just like the, I think that, I mean, that just ties into the, another green flag. It would just be like growth mindset. Mm-hmm. And also just the willingness to grow. growth is great. And also like you can, I mean, you also get to witness that as well. Like even in your dynamic with them, you know, in dating or just noticing like what they're doing in their life, you know, like, is it like, oh yeah, I'm just chilling. And it's like, okay, well, that's great. But if, you know, like, growth mindset around, because it's like polyamorous relationships are going to be constantly evolving. And yes. So it's like you need that growth mindset to be able to continue to evolve with your relationships and also the relationships of your relationships. So like to be able to be willing to grow, to already kind of just be thinking in that way. And yeah, I mean, it ties into all the things that we've already talked about with like self-awareness and empathy and curiosity. And, but it's just like really having that like forward focus and getting curious around that, being willing to dive into that. And I mean, like those are the kinds of conversations that, I mean, for sure on like earlier dates, I'm like, what, tell me what's been challenging you, you know? And like, how people are responding to change, how people are responding to challenges, like will display a lot around their mindset around everything. And and just kind of let you know about what's available and what's not. And then also, of course, meeting people where they're at, you know, because they could be in a really tough slump. And so it's not like, oh, well, you can't grow right now because like your dad just died. So like, it's like, what, you know? So like, yeah, for sure. Like within the context of their lives and the relationship, but it's like, yeah, you know, or they're just feeling like they're going through depression right now. Like, come on, you know, like that's not what I'm saying here. So like just, yeah, meeting people where they are and just like seeing like, what is the capacity there and to talk about those kinds of things.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, yeah, in recognizing people's capacity or where they're at, then you have the choice and agency to say, like, this is something that I'm here for, or this isn't something that I'm here for. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that can be really difficult because we are very empathetic and compassionate people, and we don't want to be like a bad person or an uncaring or unkind person. Mm-hmm. But I think at the beginning of a relationship, like, you know, for example, let's say that someone is going through a really tough time in their life, you are under no obligation to be that person's support.
Right.
And I also think that is a green flag as well, is when people do exercise that choice. And, you know, that's kind of a sticky area, especially when people are going through hard things. So I don't like, I think that can get really nuanced, as well. And so I don't want to get like too far into that, because I do want to stick to like the green flags. But yeah, like recognizing that choice, like, you know, in our relationship, you know, my dad died within the first 6 months of us dating. And that was really difficult. And that was really difficult, obviously, for me. And it was also really difficult for my partners. And some of my partners weren't able to be there for me in the ways that I needed them to. And that actually shifted our relationship. And you know, that was challenging, but it was also okay. Like, I don't want people to be like force themselves to like be there, be supportive of me, you know. I want people to show up because they want to show up for me. And so although it was really challenging that there were some people in my life who were like, I can't show up for you in this way, or well, some people who didn't have the ability to say that, but you know, showed it in other ways. But yeah, like, you know, Lee's ability to just like actually choose and be like, no, this is exactly how I'm going to show up for you. And this is the space that I'm going to provide. And this is who I'm going to be for you. And it's totally okay that you're going through this really hard time. Like, obviously, like I would have completely understood if they would have said something different than that. But the fact that like they were literally that explicit was really beautiful, really profound, very nourishing. And I also had another partner who was very explicit in how he wasn't, his grandmother passed away around the same time that my dad passed away. And we actually had a conversation that was like, we actually can't really be like emotionally supportive of each other during this time. Like, we can be empathetic, you know, we can understand what the other one's going through, but like, we're not relying on each other for emotional support right now. Like, we need to find that with other people because like, we don't have the emotional capacity to support one another right now. But it was really, but again, it was really beautiful that we could like have that conversation about like what we were available for and what we weren't available for. And again, like I had another relationship where, you know, they weren't able to be that explicit with me. And then it, you know, didn't go well. but yeah, like that is definitely a green flag when people are, what was the word that you used?
Growth mindset.
I think that, yeah, it's like, that's growth mindset, but it's also, I guess like that kind of goes back to like the self-awareness piece as well. And the ability to like, know what you're there for, what you're
like recognizing. Yeah. It's recognizing your capacity.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like if what the person is asking for or needing, you know, whatever it is, and it's just outside of your scope for right now, for whatever reason, it's like to name that. And I mean, cause that's the other thing with polyamorous relationships too, is like, all right, well, I don't have the capacity for that. So it's like, maybe it's not necessarily like a, you know, that like romantic relationship, but it's more of like, just like, use your platonic partners and like that really works for you. And it's not like the, like, you know, that the depth of it that, you know, maybe they were wanting in like a romantic kind of partner or whatever, but it's like, you're really good, just like solid friends, you know, whatever it may be. And like that, that matches what you have capacity for. And they're like, oh yeah, that would actually be really supportive too. Like, you know, and so to have those conversations, which it's like, I mean, again, like that's going to tell you a lot if someone's got awareness around, this is what I have capacity for, and to have those conversations. And then for someone to go, okay, like, yeah, that's not necessarily the ideal, but like, this is what, you know, this is something that we could work with here. You know, what do you think on that? Like, it's like you get to create all of this. So it's again, coming back to like, okay, what are we creating? Which is going to come back to the curiosity. It's going to come back to the willingness. It's going to come back to the empathy. Like, it's like all of that is like swirling around in these kinds of interactions. Right. And so, and especially like if you're, you know, in that dating stage and you're able to have these conversations very, you know, directly or clearly, and that's, it's like, wow, that's such a great foundation.
And I've also like one of the questions that I get asked about is around like asking people out, like what are good ways to like ask people out. And inside of all of this is like giving people the option to say no. Like I've received messages from people, and actually specifically men, which I really appreciate, getting these types of messages where it's like, hey, we met through so-and-so and it was really nice to connect with you. And I would love to connect with you deeper. This is my availability. Also, if this isn't something that you want, please feel free to say no. I'm completely okay with whatever your choice is here. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God, the first time that I received a message like that, I like read it 5 times because I was just like, oh, what an incredibly consensual message. What a beautiful message. Like, I was just like,
part of me is just like, I hate that that was such a like, oh my God. Like, why? Like, I really, why are we in a world that like that it would elicit that reaction? Right? Like, it's just like,
and that's where we're at. Like, yes, I completely agree with you. If that were the standard, that would be amazing. Mm-hmm. And I hope that it becomes the standard. I absolutely hope, want, pray, dream, and working towards actively.
Like, I really hope that, like, you know, no woman has to do that again. Of like, what? Like, it's like, oh yeah. Yeah, that sounds cooler. No, that's not. Like, it's just like, that would be it. Like, I wish for a world where that's how women feel, especially around men, because that is dumb.
It feels so good to have a consensual, like, ask out conversation.
Please, men.
Please. It's like, it makes me want to sing and dance and cry and hug babies. Like,
do you see how low the bar is? Do you see this? Like, and you're like, what? Like, they're just asking for so much. No, they're not. You know, like, on a consensual ask out. That's what they're
right. Want. It's like, quote unquote, women are complicated. No, we just want consent. And like,
that's literally it. Like, see, look how excited he got from that. Like, that's how low the bar is.
But I just got another message like that recently in the past week. Mm-hmm. I got a message like that. That was like, hey, this is so-and-so. We met at this thing. Oops, I hit that. We met at this thing and it was really awesome. And he like gave context for how we met, which also tells me that we met in like a very social context. So mm-hmm. I talked to like multiple other people that day because it was like all these people. And so like he also didn't assume that I remembered him, which I did. But like he didn't make the assumption like, oh hey, this is so and so. Do you wanna like messages that I've received in the past are, hey, this is so and so. Do you want to grab coffee sometime? Which seems really innocent. And I can take the case that it is, but it's also like that gives me nothing. I'm like, what if I don't remember you? And not because I don't care about you, but because I talked to 15 other people that day. You know, it was a very social situation. And so he was like, hey, this is so-and-so. You know, we talked about this thing and it was really cool to connect with you on this thing. And I would love to connect with you further if that's something that you're interested in. If you're not interested in that, I'm completely open and totally okay, like with whatever your answer is. And it was just really lovely to connect with you. And I thought, you know, I thought I'd just reach out because we did exchange numbers. Obviously, he had my number. He also didn't get my number in a creepy way. He got my number because we exchanged numbers. He wasn't like, oh, my friend gave you your number. Right. I hope it's okay that I'm texting you. No, it's not okay that you're texting me because I didn't give you my number. It's not okay that you're texting me. No. Anyway, so we exchanged numbers. So that was the first green flag. Again, to your point, the bar is very low.
It blows my mind. Like, I obviously have zero experience dating men, and I really am grateful for that because, like, I would be just so appalled at everything. I mean, and the couple was, I don't know, one or twice that it's happened to me where a man has asked me out in the weird, and I'm like, what is wrong with you? But I'm like, that it wasn't an anomaly. Like, that's the thing, it was not an anomaly. The anomaly is this.
Right. The anomaly is like the safe, consensual way.
Yeah. Like, that is the anomaly. And so it's just like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
But okay. So first thing was, is that we did exchange numbers. Like, I gave him my number. And because of the conversation that we had, and we were like, oh, it'd be great to connect about this further, blah, 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 blah. And then we both went and like did the social thing that we were at. And so, yeah, so he was like, hey, this is so-and-so. We connected at this event. We talked about these things. I'd really love to connect more. If that's not something that you want to do, it's totally cool. I just thought it was really great connecting with you regardless. And then he said, these are the best ways to get a hold of me. I was like, whoo, my little, that's very specific to me. That is very specific to me, where I'm just like, cause I get a lot of messages, and communication from different places in running a business, and especially running a coaching business where it's client facing, right? So I get a lot of messages from a lot of different places. So that if that's someone that he considered that there may be other ways of communicating that I would like to use, and that he put it in that message, was just like, oh my God, you're so awesome.
Very specific. You don't need to add that part.
That was very specific. But like that also for me, like showed his consideration for his consideration and listening and possible understanding. Maybe he does that with everyone. Maybe that's just the person that he is. But maybe it's because like he knows all of those things about me. Like he knows that I'm a business owner. He knows that I have a client facing business. He knows that I get a lot of communications. And so maybe that was a consideration on his part for me, because he knows those things about me. Mm-hmm. I'm not actually sure. But if it was, then kudos to him. That was really great. He was like, these are the other ways that like we could communicate if this type of communication doesn't work. And I was like, that made me really happy.
I'm really happy about that. And then I just looked over here, I'm like, this is what, at least in my experience of queer dating, it's very much just like this, right? Like where you're like, hey, blah, 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 da, 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 da. And everyone's like, cool, cool, cool. Great. We know what's going on. And it's like,
it's true. Queer dating is better.
Queer dating is superior. Like, far superior, you know, like it really, like I've had women who date men as well as non-men, which it's unfortunate, you know, with the men part. But it's like I remember this woman described it, and this was just like someone, it wasn't like a client or anyone, but it was just like someone I was talking with, and she was like, she's like, it, like when she first started dating in the queer space, she was like, it literally was like you like enter into like a bubble, like of this magical world.
It is a magical
like where it's like, you didn't, it was just like, what? Like, we're just, we can talk about this, and we can, oh, we're talking about our emotions, and like, you're offering things to me, like support, and like, I'm not worried about, like, and you're like, oh yeah, like, if you don't want it, cool, like, all good. And of course, like, yes, this is not all queer people, but like, it is,
it's not all queer people, and it's not all straight people.
Yeah, like, you know? I mean, but like that's,
but it is, but there is a definite distinction of like, one and the other.
I mean, like, that's, and that's how, you know, it's just like, it's two different worlds. Like, where she was like, I entered this magical world. Like, I stepped through the bubble barrier that straight men cannot get through, which is great. But, like, it's like, and she, like, was like, oh my God. Like, it was just like, and it, like, changed her perception around, like, what she can actually ask for, and, like, what she, or she was like, my expectations were like,
it's,
and
so
it's
true.
Like, and then it's like, yeah, and then I go back to like, you know, maybe I just dated, you know, a queer person, and then I go date like a straight dude, and it's like, oh, like indigestion, you know? Like that's what it's just like, what? You know? And so it's just like, it just blows my mind. Like all of that. The fact that that's a green flag. Like that's a given. That's a given. Like what? But here we are.
And that's a green flag. And and also I, you know, I I do talk to more and more men who are wanting to be better, right? Who are wanting to be better, wanting to do better, recognizing that what they've been taught or what they haven't been taught is not doesn't work, does not work in the context of dating and creating healthy romantic and or sexual relationships with people. And that's also like just me personally, like I don't really like date men in the traditional sense. Like if you're a straight guy and you want to date me, you got to be my friend. Like we got to be friends. We got to, you know, be cool, like just hanging out with like zero expectation, and also zero expectation that the relationship is going to go somewhere. Cause that is the other.
Also women can pick up on that stuff.
Yeah.
Women's intuition.
Yeah.
Men are wanting to get better because women's empowerment is getting like, women are done with this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. Cause it's just like I got hit on the other day. What day was that? Was that Sunday or Monday? Sunday. Mm-hmm. I got approached by this guy who,
insert eye rolls around straight man approaching.
Oh my God. I got approached by this guy, which doesn't really happen very much in Seattle, actually. It happens way more in other places. But yeah, I got approached by this guy and he like gave me a compliment about my outfit. And I was like, oh, thank you. But I was like walking home. I had just gotten groceries and coffee and I was walking home. That's what I was doing. And so, so part of me was just like, I don't want to talk to you right now. like, what are you doing? And he like complimented my outfit and I was just like, I was like, oh yeah, thanks or whatever. But like the third question he asked me was if I was single. And like, here's the thing. I know why you're approaching me. I know exactly why you're approaching me. The fact that you used my, to like a compliment to approach me is not like, I'm not like, oh, what is this person doing? Like, what's happening right now? Oh my God, thanks for the compliment on my outfit. Yeah. Like, I know what you're doing. Like, I know what you're doing. And the fact that the third question that you asked me is, are you single? Like, tells me everything that I need to know, you know, where it's just like, okay. And then I was like, no. With no explanation whatsoever. And also, like, I look very straight. Like, if you see me, you know, you might not guess that, like, I'm queer and I'm in queer relationships. And so I said no, and that was it. And I didn't, like, explain that I'm polyamorous. I didn't even say, like, who my partner is or what their gender is or anything like that. I was just like, no. And I would just, like, kind of let my passing privilege of just, like, letting him assume that I'm dating a dude and that I'm monogamous, like, kind of do the work for me. But at the same time, it's still kind of fucked up because it's just, like, yeah, the fact that he would... like that it would change his direction of interaction with me based off of whether I was with a man or not, mm-hmm. is just kind of a fucked up thing.
Yeah.
Like that just like tells me that you don't care about me as a human being.
Right.
You know, like you only cared if I was single and available and if eventually I would sleep with you. That's what this is. And so, like, don't waste my time. Like, if you're not going to treat me like a human being, like, don't talk to me. Mm. And, like, that's how I feel about it. Period.
Done. Notice how in that interaction there were no green flags. If you were looking for them, there weren't any.
Yeah. Zero green flags. And the other interactions that I've had, and I've had other interactions recently that have been full of green flags, like the one with the guy at the social event or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like, that was wonderful. And like, he just asked me questions about like who I am. We connected, we exchanged numbers. Like, it was all, it was like, again, it's just, it's wild because it's like, he just treated me like a human being the whole time. He didn't treat me like a thing that object. Eventually, like, that he could have sex with or not.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, that wasn't like, he was like, I'm interested in you as a human being. And I don't even think, and I don't know, cause I don't know this man's inner working, you know, I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, you can tell when someone's treating, like when you're someone who is treated as a subhuman, if you're a woman, if you're a queer person, if you're a person of color, if you're a disabled person, if you are insert any, you know, marginalized group, and you know the experience of being treated as a subhuman, you can tell when someone's mm-hmm. treating you like a human and when someone's not treating you like a human. Like, you can okay. tell. There's a clear distinction
mm-hmm.
between being treated like a human and not being treated like a human.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there just is. Like, there's no smoke and mirrors here. Like, you're not... If you're treating someone like a subhuman, they know, they can tell. You're not being sneaky.
Yeah.
You're not being clever. You're not beating the system. You're not doing any of that.
Yeah. No, it's not. Like, I mean, that's all, like, we talked about on the episode with when we were talking about, like, me getting more masculine, right? Mm-hmm. And like, my interactions with men now are just very, like, subhuman for me, you know, mm-hmm. like, it just is like, nada, you know,
right?
And I'm like, yeah, like, that's like a vast majority of my interactions with men, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just like, cool, you know. The few that I do interact with where it's like, oh wow, look at that, like, you actually do have a, like, you see me as like just a genuine human, like, that's so nice. Like, I get the, like, wow.
Yeah,
wow, you know, like, and they're yeah. not trying to date me, obviously, like, they're just being nice, you know, and like yeah. kind, and just like seeing me, you know, like yeah. that's all they're doing. And then it's like, what? That's the lowest expectation. Oh my God.
Yeah. It's wild. Yeah. And yeah. Anyway, so there you go. There's some examples of green flags inside of more hetero facing dating.
Mm.
I feel like, really, we need to do a breathing exercise.
I just now. Like, this is the thing for me of like dating, like, when I have partners who date men too, it just like infuriates me, you know. Like, obviously, it's, you know, I just get upset about that because it's, I mean, no person should have to deal with that. But it's like, yeah, when you like, like, obviously, I know how like awesome my partners are, you know, like, mm-hmm. and then it's like they get treated like shit with these kinds of like interactions, like, where it's just like you're not getting valued, and like, just like, just because you exist, you know, like, it's just, I hate that so much when I'm just like, dudes, what are you doing? Like, please. It's that guy from the video. sir.
Oh my God, the red flag guy.
Yeah, the red flag guy. Like,
it's okay, very, Google yeah. the red flag guy. Oh my yeah. God. I could watch those videos all day.
Like, that is literally like me with these kinds of things where it's just sir. Like, sir. And I'm like,
Ella.
You know? And then it is. Like, it is just like those things. But, and then, like, yeah, when hearing, like, it's like, oh my God, look, this nice. I'm like,
it's unfortunate. It yeah. is very unfortunate. Yeah. And I do think that things are changing. I yeah. really do. I honestly do. Yeah. So keep doing the work, y'all. Let's say we've been talking about this for an hour now.
We talked about red flags for close to 2 hours, well.
That is true. That's very true.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Queer and Poly Podcast, and we would love to hear from you. Drop us a line on TikTok, Instagram, or Twitter at queer_and_poly, or email us at queerforyou@queerandpoly.com.
If you're interested in coaching with us, follow the Linktree link in the show notes and please book a discovery session.
We are so very grateful that you're here listening, learning, and growing with us.
Until next time, keep loving.